CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So it was probably, I don't know, about 2 or 3 months ago when I was listening to the show. My name is John Harris. I am not Sean Pendergast. And that next voice you're about to hear is Seth Payne. We kicked Sean out. Yeah. Nice to meet you. We kicked Sean out. We put the sock on the door. And said, we're going to have basically football sex, if you will, on the show. So, Sean, you can go do what you've got to do. And Seth and I will do our football thing. And you can come back on Monday. I think he's back on Monday.
Yeah, just don't make it weird, John.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't make it weird. But no, I was listening probably about 3 or 4 months ago. And I mean, I've told you this, Seth, when I'm driving. A lot of times I just go on the Odyssey app and I go all the way back to the beginning of the show.
Uh-huh.
And so I always hear the open. And I always wondered why the open had Bill O'Brien.
Because
D'Amico sounds a little bit like Bill O'Brien. And I'm like, man, I thought we were rid of that. I thought.
Yeah.
And so then I was driving. I was like, is that D'Amico? Like, I hear D'Amico every day. And then I listen to it closely. Like, okay, good. That's D'Amico. All right. I feel good. That's D'Amico.
You know what? And we used Damian as well, and it was we were starting to get nervous last year. Like, man, we love Damian's voice so much and his energy, and except I don't know if it's meant to be. And we were, you know, I've still been worried about that at times this year. But then, like every few weeks, Damian shows up and truck sticks somebody. The best thing about Damian. Sorry to get off on a tangent 45 seconds into the show.
No, that's where we go.
John. But the return was nice, but the fact that he laid somebody out and
Nate Wiggins
and legally sent a guy out of the game on that play was the best part of it.
Nate Wiggins is about 170 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
He's tiny. And I was standing, like, I had a great view of it. And it's one of those where you're coming off of the safety, and he runs. I mean, it's like, oh, you've seen this, you know, at practice. Guy gets truck stick, and the play, everybody just starts running on the field like, oh, did you see that? Oh. And dude's like, no, man, I'm fine. Nate Wiggins went into the tent. He was out. And so when the Baltimore Ravens would go nickel, they would bring Wiggins in because he's a good cover guy, and they would move Marlon Humphrey to the nickel. And I look out there, and I'm like, I see Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the? Oh, that was Wiggins that got truck sticked. But that was one of the few moments from Wednesday. I got to remember it was a Wednesday game, Wednesday afternoon game. That was about one of the few moments that we got excited about because the rest of it, not so good.
There was that series because it was that, and then the offense was able to get down there.
Yeah, at the 4 yard line.
Yeah, and you weren't able to do anything with it, obviously. But then Kamari Lassiter's safety was that when Kamari Lassiter got that safety, that felt like, all right, this is what most of us felt was that. If you're going to beat the Ravens and things are going the way they have been going, then you're going to have some huge plays on defense and special teams. And that was the little sliver of hope was the safety. It felt like, okay, maybe they can do something like this. And then you remember that, they're having a hard time stopping Derrick Henry today. And it almost says that your chances of picking off Lamar Jackson when they really don't need to throw the ball and he's only thrown 4 interceptions this year, it's probably not meant to be.
Yeah, it was not meant to be. 31-2, and I didn't get a chance to listen yesterday, Seth, to your post-Christmas game show. So I don't know exactly what you guys talked about. I know what Mark and I talked about. We had the general on last night at Texas All Access, and we asked the general, "Yo, give us your thoughts." Pathetic. It was like, yeah, well, there really wasn't a whole lot. I'll put it this way: this is kind of the way. To me, you can encapsulate this game, and there'll be some things we'll talk about from this game, and then where the Texans have to go from here, amongst other things. After the game, I get a player in a locker room, which you know very, very well because you have one of the most famous post-game interviews of all time with John Granato.
Yeah.
So I get a player in a locker room, and so Omar, who is our PR czar and a wonderful human being, walks over and looks at me. And he's kind of got this scrunchy face. He looks at me and goes, Townsend?
Yeah.
And I just went, I just said 86 it. Like, that's the old, that's the only player that really could have had for a post-game interview was Tommy Townsend. I said, we'll just save it for Tennessee, man. We'll move on to Tennessee at this particular point because it wasn't good on a lot of different levels, Seth. And I don't know which one is more frustrating, but I think, and I'm gonna say this, and I don't want to give this a positive spin in any way, shape, or form, or I don't want to give excuses for a team that just got its butt kicked.
Hey man, I'm here for it. But, I need some. I got the Christmas time depression going to begin with. So let's lift me out of it a little.
And
bit.
Neither one of us are on any sleep at all. So
yeah.
there's no sleep. So
tune in, everybody. Yeah. Stay tuned. It's going to be a mess today.
Yeah,
a beautiful
exactly.
disaster.
A beautiful disaster is exactly the way to put it. I also feel like the Baltimore Ravens are a tough team to get ready for on a short week. And yeah. and here's why I say that. I felt like you mentioned Derrick Henry. Just one of the things we talked about before the game was with Henry, you can't give him runway. You just can't. Once he gets two steps downhill and he hasn't stopped his feet to go sideways, you're dead. You're absolutely yeah. dead. D-E-D dead. And early on, I started realizing, oh, I know what they're doing. This is tough. But they were just trapping the Texans all night. They were just they were running wham crunch with double traps. They're running just straight old trap. And that against a defense like the Texans is absolute kryptonite.
Not being able to
really prepare the way you probably would want to against a team that does that and does it pretty well. They just went right to it, I think, on the first series. And I remember saying, oh boy, that's not good because our guys fly upfield. They've played trap okay throughout the year, but this is not the time I want to see it, especially, and that's the running back I don't want to see. I went back and watched all 27 of Derrick Henry's runs, Seth, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite sad. I had the sads after I watched all 27 runs.
That's how I was during the game immediately because, you know, as a defensive lineman, when I watch teams like the Ravens play, I get this feeling in my stomach, and anybody who played high school football or college football can probably identify with this if you're a defensive lineman. It's that option game, man, when you get put in that bind. So with the defensive ends, I'm getting that feeling in my gut because it's hard to read the mesh point there between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. So you got to make decisions there. But then for the defensive tackles, that was my biggest disappointment was, man, these guys are flying upfield, which is what they do. But the one thing about that in that defense is, yeah, you want your defensive lineman to get off the ball, get upfield. The one little asterisk is that you got to recognize traps and whams.
Exactly.
Because that's what teams are going to try to do to you. So the fact that the Ravens game planned so well for that and that the Texans defensive tackles especially just were unaware and really getting blown out the door because of it. And then later on, they started getting kind of blown up on double teams too. That was tough to watch. It was just really, and it makes it that much harder for the linebackers. And then the other thing, you know, you could see that DeMeco and Matt Burke were trying to mix things up, and there were times where the defensive ends weren't even reading the option. They just told them either hit the quarterback or play the run.
Yeah, run right to the mesh.
Yeah. And in those instances, that puts more stress on the linebackers, and the linebackers weren't doing a great job versus it either. It was just an open gate for Derrick Henry.
And then when Derrick Henry's gate closed, which I don't know if it ever closed, they just decided to open Lamar Jackson's gate. Then all of a sudden you've got eyeballs going to the play fake, and Lamar turns the corner, and now the fastest guy in the field has the ball running right by me, and I wanted to run out of field and tackle him, but I didn't think I'd take the right angle because he's so fast. And then he runs in and he throws the ball at the logo. I'm like, I mean, yeah.
Is that what he did? He threw it at the logo?
He threw it at the logo. We had one of the logos on the back wall. And I just saw him do it. I was like, well, I mean, what can you do? You know, I think that was the 19, 20, 23, 23, 24. That was the fifth time we've played Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
The fifth time. And I've been on the sidelines for every one of them. And Seth, I mean, what did Pedro Martinez said? You called them your daddy, you know, or whatever he ended up saying, because that's
pappy,
what Lamar Jackson
right?
is.
There are pappies.
Yeah, there are pappies. Like, he's dominated every single game, and he really didn't do a whole lot, but he makes the play to me that was the killer was attended to after you get stopped at the 1 yard line. Miles Bryant has a sack dead to rights. Like, yeah. He's got him. And we talked about it during the pregame too. Like, he's tough to bring down. Jackson just shakes him off, rolls to the right side. There's Mark Andrews. Oh, great. 63 yards later, we're in a world of hurt. And then it was just downhill from there. But it was a weird game on so many different levels. I want to read you something, Seth. I don't know if you ended up seeing this. I saw this last night. And you know I'm not a big PFF guy at all.
Yeah.
So those of you that don't know, PFF is Pro Football Focus. And they give out grades, which I've always said those grades are taken with a grain of salt.
Oh, yeah, big grain of salt. They've got good stats that NFL teams actually use, but the grades are garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
So take this with a grain of salt. But the three highest graded Texans in the Week 17 loss were left tackle Laremy Tunsil, right guard Kendrick Green, left guard Titus Howard. The top three highest graded Texans were three offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Now, we've played 16 games this year.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can remember when three offensive linemen were the top three players graded by PFF. In fact, there were probably times where they might have been the lowest three.
Yeah.
So in a game in which they've got the highest grade on PFF
for the team,
for the entire team, not just the offense, the entire team.
Yeah,
they are gold, silver, and bronze as PFF puts little medals next to them. The Texans scored 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, make it make sense, Seth.
I think that one of the big differences there, usually there's a few performers who have really high grades from the other position groups. And Laramie's been up there a lot, too. But it wasn't like these were super high grades by the offensive line. It was just a...
No. They were just the highest.
They were winning by default because it was just such a poor performance all around. And that the defense, which you absolutely needed to just pull off a performance for the ages to win this game, wasn't really anybody that stepped up. You know, even Will had a couple really nice plays in the backfield, but he also had some really bad plays against the run.
Yep.
He did some, that Derrick Henry touchdown, he just spun out of his responsibility, you know.
Oh. It's just... and one final thing about that as we go to break. How many players are supposed to be on a football field at any one time?
11. What? Were there only 10 guys on that one?
No, on 11, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There were 10 on Derrick Henry's 1 yard touchdown run.
Okay. Well, that's
so there's that. So, you know, we're going to try and tackle Derrick Henry. One less guy. Like, it's okay. We're
going to
amp up the difficulty here.
Yeah, I'm not into these details, Sean. John, that's you're just being overly... You're being persnickety here. 10, 11, it's close enough.
I know. It's frustrating because it was... You know, that's not something that really has been a problem for the Texans this year. They've not had that, especially defensively. But it was like every crap thing that could happen actually happened. Yeah. But the Texans did win the AFC South, and they will play a playoff game. What did Wednesday's result mean going forward? And actually, I think it may not be the worst news. More of that coming up next.